You know, family, on the day of Pentecost, like Pastor Steve preached a couple of weeks ago, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. And when he did, something happened in their lives. They changed. In an instant, Peter became, instead of the one who denied the Lord, he became the one preaching on the streets, right? There was a power. There was something from within. So when we sing this, we're asking the Holy Spirit to pour out his Spirit in our lives. That means that more of him is seen through us. More of him is displayed through our lives. Amen? Father, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We say, Holy Spirit, pour out your power amongst us this morning. Father, we know that in the book of Acts, when we saw the power of the Holy Spirit come, that lives were changed. We know that everybody that came under the sound of their voice that was unsaved, Father, heard the gospel and responded. We thank you, Father, that people were filled with the Spirit, that people's lives were changed forever, Father. They were willing to give their very life to you. So we thank you for your presence in this place this morning, Lord. And we welcome you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's good to be in church. Amen. Praise God. Well, good to see you this morning. Why don't you turn and greet someone and tell them you're glad to see them? But I'm so glad you're in church this morning. I know some of you coming up from the south, the rain was really, it's been raining, hasn't it? Say the least, right? But we're so glad that you're here with us today, and we believe you're going to be ministered to and uplifted and walk out of here feeling ready for the week ahead. Amen? And so I just want to welcome anyone who's here for the first time today. It's the first time you've come into our church. We just want to honor you and give you a gift right where you're sitting. Is anyone here for the first time this morning? I don't see any new hands. I don't see any hands. Sometimes people are a little shy. But if you are here for the first time, we'd just like to give you a gift bag. So if you just want to let an usher know, there's a gift bag there for you. A card inside, if you'd fill it out, just hand it back to them. It lets us know. I know sometimes we don't want to be noticed, but we're so glad you're here. And this morning, it's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all of you dads. To my family, let's give them a big round of applause. All the fathers, thank you, Dad.
It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house. We've raised our kids teaching them the Word of God. We raised them in church. We went to church every Sunday. We read them the Bible every day, every night. We prayed with them. We taught them the Word of God. That's, I believe, the best thing you can do as a father for your kids. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they grow old, they will not depart from it. I believe that's the greatest gift that you can give to your children, is to train them and raise them in the Word of God and in the ways of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we thank God for the dads that are here today. We thank God for your commitment. We thank God for your example. I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I pray for every father who is here this morning. Lord, I just thank you that you are with them. I thank you that you are our strength. I thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. You are our example of what a good father is. And Lord, I just thank you for guiding our fathers, for blessing them in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for godly fathers who raise their children, teaching them your word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the fathers a big round of applause today. I felt like we've got a bigger round of applause for the moms. But in all honesty, they probably deserve a bigger round of applause. Because I feel like... Anyway, we father. I feel like father. It's almost Father's Day every day, because I get blessed and spoiled every day. But when you came in today, dads, I think we have a little gift for you. It's a little toolkit. I like this. I figured out how to open it. Figure it out again. There you go. You push the little button and you slide it, and it's a little toolkit. What do you call that, Bruce? You know, screwdriver with a little. Wow. Has anyone ever seen one of these before? I'm going to keep this on my motorcycle. I could probably take my whole motorcycle apart, put it back together with this little tool. That's what I need. We can put it on your belt. So if you didn't get one, dads, please make sure you get one. That's how I give it to you. And of course, it has a scripture on there. It says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Happy Father's Day. Let's pray. This morning, Lord, we thank you that you are our Father, and you are a good, good Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you today with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all that is within us. Lord, thank you today for your word. Thank you, Lord, your word is what brings us freedom. Your word is what brings us wisdom. Lord, as I teach your word today, I'm trusting you to help me, to anoint me, to enable me, to use me. Speak through me, Lord. I thank you that you anoint every person's mind to hear your word. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that your word goes forth by your anointing today, and that faith will rise up in our heart. I thank you, Lord, that we will walk out of here changed from glory to glory. We will not walk out of here the same way. But Lord, your word will change our heart, renew our mind, and help us to become more like you in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here this morning. So then you're looking good. Amen. I want to speak this morning. I want to speak to you about stand out from the crowd. Stand out from the crowd. Would you like to know how you can stand out from the crowd as far as God is concerned?
Yes.
I'm talking about standing out from the crowd with the Lord. Because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles, in chapter 16, in verse number 9, it says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. The Bible says that the eyes of God for somebody. He's searching the earth. He's looking for somebody that he can show himself strong in their behalf. And who's he looking for? Those who are loyal to him. The contemporary English version says those who faithfully obey him. And I think there was one more. James, someone's on the teleprompter. Don't go ahead of me. What's the other one that we have? Those who are faithful to him. Those who are faithful to him. God's looking for faithful people. Isn't that what it says? God is looking throughout the earth. His eyes are searching for somebody that he can show himself strong on their behalf. And who's he looking for? Those who are faithful to him. Those who faithfully obey him. That's what causes you to stand out. God can look over a million people and someone will stand out. Who is it? Those who are faithful to him. That's who stands out to God. Being faithful. That's who God's looking for. God shows himself strong on behalf of the faithful. God blesses people who are faithful to him. God promotes those who are faithful. God protects those who are faithful. God uses those who are faithful. To be faithful means to be reliable. It means to be steadfast. It means to be constant, unwavering. A faithful person is someone who you can count on. It's somebody who is unwavering. They're not up one day and down the next day. No, they are constant. They are unwavering. They are reliable. They are steady. They are committed. Amen?
Amen.
You know, the Bible speaks about God's faithfulness. Over and over and over we see. When God says he will do something, he does it. Even if it seems impossible. When God says something will happen, it happens. Because if that were not the case, if God were unfaithful even just one time, he wouldn't be God anymore. We couldn't rely on his promises anymore. But the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, not one word has failed of all the good promises that he gave through his servant Moses. Not one word, not one promise of God has ever failed. You know why? Because God is eternally reliable. He's eternally steadfast. He's eternally unwavering. Faithfulness is one of his inherent attributes. God doesn't have to work at being faithful. God is faithful. Psalm 89 verse 8 says, where is there any other mighty one like you? Faithfulness is your very character. God is faithful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, it says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny who he is. That's who he is. Even when we're unfaithful, he remains faithful. You can count on him. You can rely on God. Not one word of his promises has ever failed. Amen? Like we sang it today. What was the song we sang today? No, not that one. The other song that we sang.
Do it again.
Do it again. We sang that. You do it again, Lord. You have me in the palm of your hand. You've never failed me. Your promises are sure. He is faithful, family. And how many of you know the Bible says we are to imitate him? How many of you know the Bible says we are to be like him? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Try to contain yourself today. Don't get too excited. Don't get too stirred up. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, follow God's example in everything you do, just like a child imitates his father. We are to imitate our father. He is faithful. That means we too must be faithful. God expects us to be faithful to him. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1. He said that a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Let a man consider us, we're servants of Christ. We're stewards of the mystery of God. And then he says, moreover, it is required. Say required. Say it is required. It is required in stewards that one be found
faithful.
Notice that faithfulness is a requirement. It's not an option. It's something God expects. The Good News translation says it like this: the one thing required of such servants is that they be faithful to their master. The Living Bible says, now the most important thing about a servant is that he does what his master tells him to do. How many of you know we're servants of the Lord? Now we're children of God. But we're children of God, but we're also servants of God. We are supposed to do what God tells us to do. That's what it means to be faithful. In fact, the contemporary version says it like this. It says our first duty is to be faithful to the one that we work for. That's our first duty. Our responsibility is to be faithful to the Lord. God requires that we will be faithful. Yet so many people who proclaim the name of Christ, you did knock the whole projector off. So many people who proclaim the name of Christ are not faithful. I said God requires that we be faithful. But so many people who say they're Christians, they are not faithful. Don't shout me down if I can see it, because I'm preaching good today. Because I'm going to turn it up right now. Do you know why God is searching throughout the earth for loyal and faithful people? Do you know why God has to search for faithful people? Because they are hard to find. Because they are rare. Faithful people are rare. They are hard to find. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says, many a man proclaims his own loyalty and goodness, but who can find a faithful, trustworthy man? The Good News translation says everyone talks about how loyal and faithful he is, but just try to find someone who really is. If everybody who told me they were faithful really was faithful, we'd have 20,000 people in our church today. The New Living Translation says, many will say they are loyal friends, but who can find one who is truly reliable? How many of you know good friends are hard to find? Faithful people are hard to find. Loyal people are hard to find. That's why God is searching for them. And if you want to be one who stands out, be a faithful person. Because that's the person who stands out from the crowd. God's looking for someone who's loyal and faithful. He says, I am going to show myself strong on their behalf. Yes. Faithful and loyal people are hard to find. Yet faithfulness and loyalty are the qualities that God values, that God is looking for. That's who God promotes. That's who God blesses. That's who God protects. That's Amen. Who God uses. Hebrews 3 verse 2 says, Jesus was faithful to God who appointed him. Jesus was faithful to God who appointed him as high priest, just as Moses faithfully served in God's house. So notice, Moses was faithful. Jesus was faithful. Isn't that right? Moses grew up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know the story of Moses. When he was a baby, he was put in a basket and sent down the river, and Pharaoh's daughter found him, and he was raised in Pharaoh's court as one of the sons of Pharaoh. He grew up as Pharaoh's daughter. Very privileged position. But the scripture says that Moses chose, rather than being in the courts of Egypt, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. The Bible says he thought it better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. He chose Jesus over all the treasures and wealth of Egypt. Why? Because the Bible says he was looking forward to a great reward. What reward? Do you know that we are going to be rewarded in eternity for our faithfulness to God while we're on this earth? We are going to be rewarded for eternity to our faith, for our faithfulness to God. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus taught in parables, you know. He told stories, used illustrations. And here's one, a very powerful parable. In Matthew 25, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called his servants together and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one and 2 bags of silver to another and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and he then left on his trip. The servant who had received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and he earned 5 more bags. The servant with 2 bags of silver, he also went to work and he earned 2 more. But the servant who had received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, their master returned. How many of you know our master is returning?
Yes. Yes.
After a long time, the master returned from his trip. And he called them to give an account of how they had used his money. And the servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward, and he had 5 more. And he said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. And the master was full of praise. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.
Wow.
See, that's what's going to happen. One day we're going to stand before the Lord. And remember, Jesus is using the story to illustrate heaven. One day we're going to stand before the Lord. One day Jesus is going to return, and we are going to be rewarded for our faithfulness to Him. It says the servant who received 2 bags, he came forward. He said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more. And the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Now notice, the master was just as pleased with the servant that had gained 2 bags of silver as the one who gained 5 bags of silver, because it's not how much you have, it's how faithful you have been with what God gave you.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
It says, then the servant with the 1 bag of silver, he came, he said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I went and I hid it in the earth. And look here, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops that I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? Or at least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what they have will be taken away.
Amen.
Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that don't sound good to me. I don't know about you, but it don't sound good to me. My question is, which of the servants do you want to be? Do you want to hear the Lord say, well done?
Yes.
Good and faithful servant.
Yes.
You used what I gave you. You were faithful with what I gave you. You did what I wanted you to do. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I want to be one of them. I don't want to be the servant that says, you wicked, lazy servant. Cast them into outer darkness. I don't want to be that guy. How many of you want to be that guy? Does anybody want to be that guy?
No.
So determine you're going to be one of those that Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
I'm preaching a whole lot better than you amening today. You need to turn it up a little bit. Let me tell you, our faithfulness determines our rewards. God blesses, God uses, God protects, God promotes people who are faithful. If there was anybody who was faithful, surely it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul endured more than we can imagine, and he never quit. He never wavered. He never gave up. In 2 Corinthians 11, in verse 23, he told some of the things that he had to go through. He said, I worked harder. I've been in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number. I've faced death again and again. 5 times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. He said, I've traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced dangers in the cities, in the desert, on the seas. I've faced dangers from men who claim to be believers, but they are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty. I've often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without clothing enough to keep me warm. Despite all those things Paul went through, he stayed faithful. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he wrote to Timothy, he said, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. You talk about faithful. Do you know when Paul wrote that letter to Timothy? He was in prison when he wrote that letter. He said, I'm about to die. The time of my departure is at hand. But I have fought the fight. I have kept the, finished the race. I have remained faithful. I mean, listen, family. Paul went through more for the gospel than any of us ever will. And yet he remained faithful. I mean, think about it. All that he went through, beaten 5 times, 39 lashes. Have any idea what being beaten with 39 lashes is like? Being beaten with rods, being thrown in jail, being stoned. Yet today, Christians get discouraged and quit serving God because they didn't get the car they wanted. They didn't get the promotion they wanted. People get offended and stop coming to church over the stupidest, silliest things you ever heard of in your life. That is not being faithful. Faithful people refuse to quit. Faithful people will not give up. Faithful people, they endure. God is looking for faithful people. God promotes and blesses and uses faithful people. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 verse 12, he said, I thank Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Why did God, why did Paul say that the Lord put him in the ministry? He said because he counted me faithful. He put me in the ministry because he counted me faithful. You see, Paul said the reason God chose him, the reason God used him, is because he counted him as faithful. Do you know that God is looking, if you're faithful with where you're at right now, then God will promote you to greater things. But if you're not faithful where you are right now, then God isn't going to promote you to greater things. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
Jesus said in Luke 16, verse 10, he said, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust or unfaithful in what is least is also unfaithful or unjust in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You know, it says, if unrighteous mammon is money. If you're not faithful with your money, how's God going to trust you with greater things? You know there's greater riches than money? I said there's greater riches than money. There are greater riches than money. Because money you ain't taking with you. But the riches that God will deposit in you will be for eternity. Eternal rewards. Amen. God's looking for faithful people. God promotes faithful people. God uses faithful people. God blesses faithful people. Proverbs 28 verse 20 says, a faithful man will abound with blessing. Abound with blessing. You know what it means to abound with blessing? It means to overflow. If you want to see blessings overflowing in your life, determine you're going to be faithful to the Lord. The contemporary Bible says, God blesses his loyal people. Many businesses today, they offer rewards and benefits to their loyal customers. Do you know God also values and rewards loyalty? Do you know God rewards faithfulness?
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
In this life and in the life that is to come. Being faithful is the key to abounding in blessing. The greatest secret I can ever tell you is to be faithful to the Lord. But the truth is, faithfulness and loyalty, it's a rare quality today. The sad reality is faithful people are hard to find. The truth is every Christian should be an example of faithfulness. But faithful people are hard to find.
Today, more than ever, we live in a quitting society. People quit so easy. They quit over everything. If they don't like school, it's too hard, they quit. If they don't like their job, they have pressure, they quit. If their marriage is having difficulty, let's quit. If anything creates pressure, they quit. Something happens at church they don't like, they stop going. Unfortunately, many people in the church are not faithful. They quit when things don't go their way. They quit when the pressure is applied. I can't tell you how many people have told me, Pastor Steve, I'm with you. I can't tell you how many people told me they're going to be here today. They couldn't even be in church today. They'd ask, see you on Sunday. I'll be there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there on Sunday. Where are they? Well, it was raining, Pastor Steve. It was raining. Oh, I forgot. You're only going to be here if all the conditions are absolutely perfect. I've had people tell me, I'm with you, Pastor Steve. I'm behind you. I'll never leave you. They're so far behind me now, need the doctors. I need a telescope. That's how far behind me they are. 6 months, a year later, they leave the church. And then they don't even return my phone calls. They won't return my texts. I text them over and over, how you doing? Missing you, praying for you? No reply. Gone dark. They went into the witness protection program. Listen, that's not being faithful. Sorry to tell you, you can get mad at me if you want. I love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
We're supposed to have a different spirit. We're supposed to have an excellent spirit, an extraordinary spirit, like Daniel had. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, it says, this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to set him over the whole realm. So the governors and the satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge. They could find no fault. Why? Because Daniel was faithful. Now listen, you can understand. Move on from me. Daniel had an extraordinary spirit, an excellent spirit. The Bible says, why? Because he was faithful. He was faithful in all circumstances. Even though Daniel was taken captive when he was a teenager, he was taken captive, prisoner. And he was taken from Jerusalem to a place called Babylon. Remember the song? Down by the rivers of Babylon. Remember that old song from the old people? Where we went down. Do you remember that song? When we remember Zion. You know what they're talking about? They're talking about when the Israelites were taken captive in Jerusalem. And they were taken to Babylon. Which is now, today, is Iraq. Modern day Iraq. And so Daniel was one of them. So he's in a foreign land. And he's among foreign people that serve a different God. They don't serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yet, even though he's a captive in this foreign land, he remained faithful to God. He refused to compromise his faith. He stood out from the crowd. He would pray every morning, every afternoon, and every evening. He'd open his windows and he'd pray to the God, the only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He would pray boldly. And yet he had such favor with the king who wanted to put him over the whole realm. But the other people, other governors and satraps, they were jealous of him. So they tried to find something to accuse him of. But the Bible says they couldn't because he was so faithful. You couldn't get him to quit. Eventually, they convinced the king through a whole deception to have him thrown into a den of lions. They said, Daniel, if you do not stop serving the God of Israel, we're going to throw you into a lion's den. And he wouldn't stop. They threw him in the lion's den. You all know the story. God protected him. Listen, today, it doesn't take a lion's den to get some Christians to quit serving God. You don't have to threaten them with a lion's den. Just the shadow of a lion would be enough to threaten them. Just the recording of a lion's roar would be enough to get them to quit. I don't know about you, but I want to have an excellent spirit like Daniel had, and I refuse to quit. I am going to be faithful, and I am going to be Say, I'm not a quitter.
Say,
I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to be loyal. Because God is looking for faithful people. If you want to stand out from the crowd to the Lord, then be faithful. And faithfulness isn't measured in days or weeks or months. Oh, faithfulness is measured over years. You have to prove yourself faithful. Are you with me? See, I've had a lot of people that were very faithful. They were coming to church faithfully, serving the Lord faithfully, giving faithfully, praying faithfully. But that only lasted for a certain time. And then when things happen, they come to a certain point, pressure was applied, and then they quit. So they might have been faithful for 6 months or a year. But listen, that doesn't make you faithful. Faithfulness is measured in a lifetime.
Yes.
Will you be faithful in adversity? God wants to see your faithfulness before He blesses you, before He uses you, before He promotes you. In Psalm 31, verse 23, it says, the Lord preserves the faithful. The Lord preserves the faithful. Do you know what that means? Preserve means to protect. The Lord protects those who are loyal to Him. God protects those who are faithful. God promises, I will protect, I will preserve those who are faithful. Faithfulness is an honorable quality that will bring blessing. It will bring promotion. It will bring success in your life. Bring God's favor. The people God used in the Bible, they were faithful. I mean, think about Joseph. One of my favorite Bible characters is Joseph. He was so faithful. He was so loyal to the Lord. God gave him a dream when he was a teenager. But it didn't come to pass overnight. I mean, it took 15 years before it happened. But he remained faithful to God. In spite of all kinds of adversity and disappointment, are you kidding me? God gave him a dream. And it's like everything went wrong from that moment. He ended up, his brother betrayed him, threw him in a pit. He was sold into Egypt, became a slave. It was lied about, was thrown in prison, 13 years in prison. I mean, are you kidding me? He remained faithful.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Faithfulness is what God is looking for. When God finds that quality in your life, He will cause you to abound with blessing. You'll see blessings abound in your life. How many people you want to abound in God's blessings? Is anyone here today that wants to see blessings abounding in your life? Then make a decision that you're going to be faithful. You might be sitting here this morning and you might be a little pricked in your conscience. Good. Because I'd rather you be pricked now and make the adjustment and say, you know what, Pastor Steve? You're right. I hear this and I make a decision. I am going to be faithful. I haven't been faithful. I don't feel like I've been faithful as I should have been. But I'm going to be faithful from today. You can make that adjustment today. You don't have to wait until you get before the Lord. Because then it's too late. When you get before the Lord, it's too late. I'm giving you a warning to make an adjustment and determine you are going to be faithful. No matter what comes your way. No matter what adversity, no matter what pressure, no matter what difficulty, you are going to remain faithful to God. You know, David was faithful to God. David was anointed to be king by the prophet Samuel when he was 15 years old. But David didn't become the king until he was 30 years old. He had to be faithful with the sheep out in the pastures before he was promoted to be the king. See, you're going to be faithful in little before you can be made ruler over much. David was faithful and loyal to King Saul, even when King Saul became jealous of David, and King Saul tried to kill David. And for 13 years, see, Saul got jealous because one day he heard the people singing. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. And Saul became jealous, and he sought to destroy David. David was totally loyal and faithful to King Saul. But Saul chased David for 13 years with his army through the deserts, trying to kill David. And do you know that David had several opportunities, in fact, three opportunities, when he could have killed King Saul. He snuck into his cave one night, and right up while Saul was sleeping, he took his knife, he could have slit his throat. He took a little piece of his clothing and he came out from the cave and he said, King Saul, I could have killed you. But I will not touch God's anointed. I will not touch God's anointed. He remained faithful and loyal to the king who was trying to kill him. Hello?
Yes.
1 Samuel 22 verse 14, it says, Abimelech answered the king, Abimelech said to the king, who among all your servants is as faithful as David? Who is as faithful as David? Who is the king's son-in-law who goes at your bidding? He's honorable in all your house. I believe that's why God so loved and so blessed David. Because God blesses and uses faithful and loyal people. God values faithfulness. Some people may not think of David as faithful because all they think of is that he committed adultery. You know, some people like to define you by that mistake that you made and they never ever forget it. But thank God, God isn't like that. Because even though David committed a grievous sin, David sinned. David had a couple of hundred wives. 300, I believe. Or 300 concubines. 300 concubines. That's what the scripture says. Don't look at me like I just... What? He did. He had 300 concubines. Bathsheba was a sinner because she was married to a man named Uriah. David desired her. He slept with her. Then he had her husband. He arranged for him to be killed. So he murdered her husband. But you know what? David repented. David cried out to the Lord.
Right.
David cried out and he repented. And you know what the Bible says about David? Go on to Acts chapter 13. In Acts 13 it says, God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. He will fulfill all my will. God calls David a faithful man. Are you with me?
Yes.
You might have messed up big time. You might have really screwed up, as they say. But I want to tell you, it's never too late. You can,
Amen.
Lord, forgive me. You can make a change. You can determine you're going to be faithful and you're going to be loyal. Amen?
Amen.
Just because you messed up doesn't disqualify you from being faithful. Thank God for his mercy.
Yes.
David repented. He fulfilled God's will for his life. He was faithful to God. God was so impressed, he said, your descendants will reign for 1,000 generations.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken about a number of faithful people in the Bible that you know, like Moses, like Jesus, like David, like Daniel, like Joseph, like Paul. But you know, the Bible mentions some faithful people that you probably never heard of. In Ephesians 6 verse 21, it says, Titius. Anyone ever heard of Titius in the Bible? Yeah, well, you're smart, but you read the Bible a lot. But most people never heard of Titius. Titius, a beloved brother, a faithful minister in the Lord. In Colossians 1:7, it says, you learn about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. And in Colossians 4:9, Paul said, I'm sending Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. Now, Onesimus had Paul led him to the Lord when he was in prison. Onesimus was someone who got saved under Paul's ministry in prison. And Paul says, I'm sending Onesimus. He's a faithful brother. These men may be unfamiliar to most people, but let me tell you, faithfulness, even in small matters, is known to God. And it is rewarded in the end. And God mentions, put these people in the Bible, even though you may never have heard of them, because they stood out to him because they were faithful.
Amen.
If there's one quality that seems lacking in our world today, it's loyalty,
Amen.
Faithfulness,
Yeah.
the words respect, honor, duty, integrity. You don't hear that much anymore. Hello? Sadly today, many people are just out for themselves. You know, they don't stick up for their family or their friends. They'll stab someone in the back to get ahead. They're not honorable. They don't think anything of criticizing people, bad-mouthing their boss, bad-mouthing their country, bad-mouthing their church, bad-mouthing their pastor. They don't keep their commitments. They'll pack up and leave a company, you know, 10 years. Overnight, I am dry because I got a better job offer somewhere else. It boils down to a lack of loyalty. Proverbs 21:21 says, he who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. When you pursue loyalty and you determine and pursue faithfulness, the Bible says you will find life and righteousness and honor.
Amen.
Notice how righteousness and loyalty get to go together. In other words, if we're not being loyal to God, and if we're not being loyal to our family and to our friends and to our company, to our country, to our church, then we're not going to experience God's best in our life. Because God rewards loyalty. God rewards faithfulness. Loyal people are honorable people. When you're loyal, you stick with someone through thick and thin.
Amen.
Are you with me? When you're loyal, you keep your word, even when it hurts and costs you, people can count on you. If you say you're going to do it, then you do it.
Yes.
Psalm 15, verse 1, it says, O Lord, who may abide in your tent, and who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity, and works righteousness, and speaks truth in his heart, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does he do evil unto his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. It says, he honors those who fear the Lord, and he swears to his own hurt, and does not change. In other words, this is telling us an honorable, faithful person is someone, if I tell you I'm going to do it, even if circumstances change, if I told you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'll swear to my own hurt.
Yes.
Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
So my mom was telling me about my dad. And they sold one of their first homes. We were living in England at the time I was little. My dad, I think, was in the fire department, and they had their first home in Raynham. They bought it for £4,250. And so they lived there a couple of years, and then they put it up for sale. Where are we moving to? Back to Detroit, back to the U.S. So they put it up for sale, and someone came to see the house. Two people came to see the house, and one person made... One person wanted it, they offered, but then someone came afterwards and offered more money. And my dad said, I'm sorry, I can't sell it to you, even though it's more money, because I already agreed that I would sell it to this man. How many of you know that's honorable? If I tell you I'll sell you my car for $10,000, and this guy comes and says, I'll give you $12,000. Sorry, buddy, I've got a better offer. That's not honorable. If I've made a commitment, even if it costs me, I'd rather keep my commitment than make a little more money. That's what a loyal person is. A faithful person does what they promise. They swear to their own hurt. If I say I'm going to do something, I'll do it, even if it's inconvenient for me. Even if at the time I said it, well, now this came up. Well, I said I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Faithful and loyal people are they're respectful of their country. They're respectful of their leaders. They don't go around bad-mouthing people in authority. Hello?
Amen.
Loyal people honor their parents. They defend their family. They defend their friends. When you're loyal, you stick up for someone. Let me tell you, if I hear someone start to talk about you, and I know you're a member of Christian Family Church, I'm going to defend you.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to believe the best of you.
Yeah.
I'm going to do everything I can to take up for you. That's what a loyal person does. If someone says to me, one of your members tried to run me off the road. I'm sure they didn't mean to. They probably just got distracted. Maybe they were looking for their cell phone. No, they were mad. They were honking their horn. They had their hands in the air. I'm sure they were just worshiping the Lord. You see, when you're loyal, you will defend people even to a fault. Someone says, well, and Steve, I don't think that's right. Listen, I'd rather be too merciful than too judgmental. Even if they were wrong, even if they did blew it, even if they did, you know, maybe they're having a bad day. Why not give them the benefit of the doubt? I mean, after all, if you've never blown it, then go ahead and throw the first stone. But you see, when you're loyal, you stick up for each other. You believe the best of people. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. When you're faithful, you don't go around talking about, oh, let me tell you what I heard. What I heard. Anybody can jump on the old negative, critical, fault-finding bandwagon. That's easy to do. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a fair-weathered friend. You know, I'm with you in the good times, but God bless you. Good luck in the tough times. You're on your own then. No, family, listen, I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin. When you're loyal, you'll be with somebody on the mountain celebrating their victories, and you'll be with them still in the valley, defending their honor, fighting for them. That's what it means to be loyal and faithful. I heard something that Kevin McHale said. He played basketball for the Boston Celtics. He's a Basketball Hall of Fame inductee, and now he's the head coach, I believe, for the Houston Rockets. And he said when he was playing for the Boston Celtics, after someone made a game-winning shot, the coach, Casey Jones, he would never come out and congratulate the person. But anytime someone missed a game-winning shot and did something that caused the team to lose, he would be the first person to go over and encourage them. And one day Kevin McHale asked him, he said, "Coach, how come, you know, you never come over and congratulate us when we do something good, but you always are the first one when we mess up?" And he said, "Well, here's why, Kevin. When you win, everybody's cheering you on. You've got 15,000 people screaming your name, shouting your praise. But when you lose, when you're down, when you've blown it, when you make mistakes, that's when you need a true friend." How many of you know that's the way it is in life? It's easy to cheer people on when you're on the mountaintop. Let me tell you, everybody wants to be your friend when you're on the top of the mountain. It's easy to cheer people on when everything's going their way. But a loyal person, a person of honor, a true friend is going to be there cheering you on when nobody else is around, when you're in the valley. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And the New Living Bible says, "A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in a time of need." A true friend is always loyal. Amen? That's the kind of people we need to strive to be. True, loyal, faithful friends. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." It doesn't say, you that are spiritual, look down on them, go around discussing, broadcasting their failures. No, it says, don't be critical. We shouldn't be critical. We shouldn't be judgmental. It says we're supposed to gently restore them. That's what a loyal person does. There's too many fair-weathered friends these days, even in the sports world. One moment you're the hero, but a couple of weeks later, you got a few bad games. Everyone's booing you, trying to run you out of town. My Lord, listen, family, we need to let our friends and our family know that we are in it for the long haul, that we're going to be by their side, committed to them through thick and thin. A true friend defends and restores. A true friend is committed. Amen. Good day. Someone's not accusing, talking about somebody we love, we should defend them. We should say, "Hey, wait a minute, that's my friend, that's my neighbor, that's my co-worker, that's my pastor. They might have made a mistake, but you better give them a little mercy, because if you mess with them, you're going to mess with me. They may not be perfect, but neither are you, so you need to back off and cut them some slack." Defend your friends. That's what it means to be loyal. You see, you stick up for people. You see a friend, a brother, a sister who's down, instead of talking about them, being critical, judgmental, "Well, they're just getting what they deserve." No, we're supposed to lift the fallen. We're supposed to restore the broken. The Bible says in Psalm 145, the Lord lifts the fallen. And it says in Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9, "Two are better than one, for if they fall, one can lift up his companion." Instead of saying, "Oh, well, you know, too bad for you," we're supposed to go to them and help lift them up and pour healing oil onto their wounds and encourage them. That's what a faithful and loyal friend does. Let me ask you, are you being faithful and loyal to God today? Are you being faithful to your friends? Are you being faithful to your family? Are you being faithful to your church? Are you being faithful to your pastor? Do you stick with them through thick and thin? It's so easy when people are down, when they make mistakes. It's so easy, family, you know, to be critical and to condemn them. But really, that's when our friends need us the most. A true friend is going to be by your side when you're hurting, when you've fallen, when you make mistakes. I want you to know the people in this church are on your team. Defend them. Stick up for one another. Amen.
Amen.
I thank God for the faithful people in this church. This church was built by faithful people. People we can count on. People who've stuck with us through thick and thin. I'm amazed how few people are really faithful. I've seen people come to this church, get saved, start growing in the Word, their lives change. Oh, they're so thankful, their lives turning around. Oh, Pastor Steve, tell me how grateful they are, how much they love me, how much they love Christian Family Church. The next thing, they're gone. As I said, they don't return my phone call, they don't return my text messages. I mean, you would think when you go out of your way to help people that they would be faithful, that they would help you. But let me tell you, you'd be wrong. Yeah. One lady came to me one time. She asked if I could help her. She had gum disease. Her teeth were all messed up. Whenever she talked to me, she'd cover her mouth like this. I mean, this is how she talked to me. How you doing? Yeah. What's up? She was so embarrassed. And she was so self-conscious. And so, you know, she'd been to see a dentist, and he wanted to put caps on three of her teeth. It was going to cost $1,500. I knew she needed a lot more than three caps in her teeth. And so I got hold of one of the best dentists in Palm Beach. And I spoke to him, and I got him to do all of the dental work for her. It would have cost her over $10,000. He totally redid her smile. Over $10,000. He said, "Bessie, I'm going to do it. I won't charge one penny. Just $500 I need for the materials." So I paid the $500 to have her teeth done. Now she's got a great smile. Is she still in our church?
Nope.
No. She's in the church down the road. I almost wanted to go take my teeth back. No. Just joking. Just joking. Hey, I can stand all day. I've got one man came to church who weighed 900 pounds. When he first started, he weighed 900 pounds. He lost 450 pounds. He had all this loose skin all over. And my heart went out. Spoke to a friend of mine who's a plastic surgeon. He removed all the skin. Several surgeons. Never charged him $1. Is he in the church?
Apparently not.
Never done a word of this. Another couple lived down the street from us. They're having serious marriage problems. In fact, the wife had already moved out, separated. And the husband came to us in tears. He asked if we could help. My wife called his wife. She didn't reply. Jill kept reaching out to her, kept calling her. Eventually, got hold of her. She agreed to meet. Jill convinced her, can we meet, have some coffee? Jill was able to minister to her. She moved back home. Today they're doing great. They were so grateful they joined our church. Their daughter became part of our worship team. Just her life just took off to another level. Are they still in the church today? You think so, right? No, move on, James. No. They left the church, I don't even know why. They didn't even tell me why. I never got any explanation. I can go on and on. I've been doing this for 34 years. I go on and on and on and on. Let me tell you, faithful people are hard to find. Faithful people are rare. I thank God for we have faithful people in this church. People like Carol Butler. Being with us from the very first service. Yeah. Never misses a Sunday. Been with us from the beginning. Kevin supported us, tithe faithfully, prays, serves. Cartwright family. Tom and Anna Cartwright and their family been with us from day one. These are people I know I can count. These are people I don't have to wonder. I wonder if Carol's going to be in church today. I don't have to call her up. Carol, are you coming to church today, Carol? I know she can be. Let me tell you, they are true friends. They're committed people. The kind of people I'd like us all to be. Not people who stay with you if you do everything just right, if you never let them down, if you never offend them, then they'll stick with you. But the moment you don't perform perfectly, the moment you make a mistake, you don't come to their birthday party, I'm out of here, Pastor Steve. Let me challenge you. Be faithful. If you will continue to be faithful, God has promised He will pour down blessings on your life. He will pour down favor on your life. Blessings will abound in your life. God will protect you. God will preserve you. He will promote you. you will find that life of victory that God has prepared for you in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you to be faithful. You know, the Bible talks about it also warns of the consequences of being unfaithful. The consequences of unfaithfulness. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures real quick, and I don't even have to explain them because they speak for themselves. Proverbs 13 verse 15 says, the way of the unfaithful is hard. Ezekiel 14 verse 13 says, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread and send famine on it and cut off man and beast from it. In Ezekiel 15 verse 8, it says, I will make the land desolate because they have persisted in unfaithfulness, says the Lord. In Ezekiel 39:23, it says, the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore, I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies. Let me say, God says, I gave them into the hand of their enemies because they were unfaithful, continually unfaithful to me. 1 Chronicles 9 verse 1, Judah was carried away captive to Babylon because of their unfaithfulness. 1 Chronicles 10 verse 13, Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. 2 Chronicles 28:19 says, for Israel brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had encouraged moral decline in Judah and had been continually unfaithful to the Lord. It says, God says, I brought him low because he'd been continually unfaithful. You see, when you're faithful, God lifts you up. When you're unfaithful, God brings you up. Proverbs 11 verse 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. If you want to be one who stands out in the crowd, God is searching the earth. If you want to be one who stands out, if you want to abound in blessings, if you want God to preserve you, protect you, promote you, use you, determine, you are going to be faithful to the Lord. As I close this morning, let me give you some practical things and practical ways that you can be faithful to the Lord. Say, Pastor Steve, I want to be faithful to the Lord. What are the things I should do to be faithful? Here's just a few. Just a few. Put them up for me if you would. Pray every day. Pray every day. Talk to the Lord every day. Number two, read your Bible every day. Read your Bible every day. If you're going to be faithful, read your Bible every day. Number three, obey God faithfully. Number four, avoid temptation. Avoid temptation. Number five, go to church every Sunday. In brackets, be on time. Faithful people get to church every Sunday on time. Let me ask you, what would happen if you went to work late every day?
Get fired.
Probably wouldn't be fired. If you went late every day, certainly wouldn't be the employee of the month.
That's right.
Amen? Nice. Please understand, I want you to come to church, but you're not doing me a favor. You're not doing me a favor. You're doing yourself a favor.
Amen.
A faithful person's in church every Sunday. Now, you know, if you're on vacation, that's different. We've got some people away on vacation. The only problem is some people have 25 weeks of vacation every month. Every other week on vacation. Because here's what Americans do. Americans take weekend vacations. Which is not really a vacation. 3 days is not a vacation. You can go 3 day vacations all year long, you'll never rest. Vacation, you can take a few days, a week, 2 weeks, and rest. But what Americans do is they take the weekend, so like, you know, 20, 15 weekends a year, they're out of town. That's not faithful. What do I do to be faithful? Attend a connect group every week. Be a part of a connect group. Serve faithfully in God's house. Number seven, serve faithfully in the house of God. What are you doing in the house of God? Number eight, be a faithful tither, a faithful giver. Jesus said, if you're not faithful in unrighteous mammon, how can God ever commit to your trust the true riches? Let me tell you, there are greater riches than money. The anointing of God. The giftings of God. The blessings of God. These are beyond money. Number 9, bring others to Jesus. Disciple them. Be faithful about bringing other people to church. Discipling others. Number 10, don't engage in critical talk. Be loyal. And number 11, never quit. No matter what, keep going. No matter what you may face, no matter what disappointment comes, no matter who lets you down, no matter who forsakes you, no matter what you didn't get, no matter what happens, keep following the Lord. Be faithful to Him. And one day, I believe, you will hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. All these rewards I have prepared for you, God is going to reward us for our faithfulness. If you be faithful to God, let me tell you, you can expect to abound in blessing. You can expect to be used by God. You can expect to be promoted. You can expect to be protected. You can expect to be favored. You can expect rewards throughout all of eternity. And you will be faithful to God. Amen. That's why I do everything that I do. My life. I live with this knowledge that one day I'm going to stand before the Lord. One day I'm going to stand before Him. He sees everything I do, everything I say, everything I think, every motive of my heart. I'm going to stand before Him and He is going to reward me for my faithfulness to Him. And you too. And I believe, I want you to hear Him say, well done. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. Lift your hand to Heaven today. Close your eyes, say this. Say, Lord, I thank You that You are faithful. That's who You are. I can rely on You. I can count on You. You are unwavering. You'll never fail. Not one promise have You ever failed. Say, Lord, I too want to be like You. And I determine that I am going to be faithful to You. I want to hear You say, well done, good and faithful servant. Say this, say, Lord, I ask You to forgive me if I have been unfaithful. Forgive me, Lord. Today, say, I make a decision. From today, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. And I'm going to be loyal. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Do you receive this morning? Yes. I tell you what, out of all the sermons that I've ever preached in my life, this is the one that means the most to me. This is the one that I pray would get burned in your heart. This is the one I pray you never ever forget. Because this is what it's all about, family. The Christian life is all about being faithful to the One who called us, to the One who created us, to the One who redeemed us, to the One who saved us. It's about being faithful to Him. Amen. Amen. I want you to bow your head for a moment. I want to pray for you. Bow your head if you would. Father, I thank You for everyone who's here this morning. And I pray for each and every person. I pray for each and every person, Lord. I know that not one person is here by any accident today, but they are here by Your divine hand. And I pray, Lord, that Your word has gone deep into their heart and that Your word will bring a change in their life. And I pray, Lord, that every person would be faithful to You. Every person would be faithful, would serve You without quitting, without wavering, in the name of while you have your head bowed, and while we have our eyes closed, Before you look up today, before we move on, I want to pray right now. I want to pray a life-changing prayer. I want to pray for every person here this morning. And you say, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with the Lord today. I'm not sure if all is right between me and God. Listen, I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, if you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain that you would go to heaven? You're absolutely sure about it? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I die today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God, but I'm not absolutely certain. I'm not absolutely sure. Listen, the good news is you can be sure about it. You can leave here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can leave here today knowing for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or anything like that. But right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God this morning. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray, because I want to make sure that all is right, that all is well between me and the Lord. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Do you know that there is a heaven to gain? Heaven is real. There's a heaven that awaits us. There's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, I want to ask you quickly right now, just lift your hand up high. Just hold your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. God bless you. All right. Praise God. Look up for, at me for a moment. And it's hanging over their hand. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, you're looking at a faithful person. Tell them, I'm going to be faithful. Amen.
I'm going to be faithful. Amen. So many areas, right? So many areas of our life. My conscience is pricked in certain areas. And I'm like, pull it together, girl. Right? Anyone else feel like that? Amen. We're going to, now's the time in the service where we give the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. Amen. It's a good time. Praise God. There's envelopes on the seats. If you want to use that, there's various ways to give. It'll come up on the screen in a moment. But I want to read just quickly those two verses from this passage that Pastor Steve read today from Luke 16. Hey, James, I need you.
Verse 10 and 11.
Thank you. Verse 10 and 11. Because we believe that giving and tithing is the way that God has us finance the kingdom of God. Amen. So Jesus said, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, so it's talking about money. That's why we're talking about it at the offering time. Who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Like Pastor Steve said, the things that matter beyond the material things. And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? No one can serve two masters. So Jesus narrows it down right now. He says you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Very interesting that he says God and money, because we'd say, well, I don't serve money, but I didn't write this down, but I was reminded that just after this, it says the Pharisees heard what he was saying and they scoffed at him. And Jesus said to them, and it says because they loved their money. The Pharisees loved their money. So they scoffed. They're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? And he says, you know what? All you care about is the appearance of looking like you're doing the right thing. He said, but I'm watching your heart. I'm looking at your heart. And tithing, we know it to be a test. It's just a test. God's testing where our heart stands, if we trust Him. How are we faithful with our money? First of all, in order to be faithful with our money, we need to be faithful with the tithe. The Bible says the first tenth belongs to God. So when we tithe, we're setting apart what belongs to God and giving it to Him regardless and trusting Him that He will take care of the rest, right? So when we tithe our 10%, the rest of the money becomes blessed or circumcised or blessed because we've set apart that to the Lord, and then we're able to give out of that. We're setting our money apart to God. We're trusting Him for His blessing upon it. Amen? And that's how we are faithful, week in, week out, through the good times, through the bad times, through the ups, through the downs. That's when it's proved over a period of time that we are faithful to the Lord. Amen? So right now, as you prepare to give, we appreciate your faithfulness. We were talking about it last night. We were talking about, you know, some countries have a flat 15% tax across the board. And 13% tax across the board, whether you're wealthy, whether you're...
That's Russia. Russia has a flat 13% tax. You know that? Everyone pays 13%. Rich and poor.
Anyway, I was saying that's like...
I think we should do the American way. I think 10% go to God and 10% to the government. That's it. 10% to God and 10% to the government.
Woo-hoo!
Everybody!
Yeah.
I'm running for Congress next year.
But what I like about it is that it's fair. Because, you know, 10% is fair. Because,
right.
Because it's not, you know, some people, if they've got a lot, they say, well, my tithe would be too big. And other people, if they've got a little, say, well, let somebody who's got more give.
Right.
But God just says, no, let's make it a test. It's the same for everybody.
It's fair.
Amen.
It's
so
right.
Those who are watching online, you can go ahead and give. Do you want to pray over everyone?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead. Well, let me just make this announcement. Otherwise, it's going to get left behind. We have the lunch club meeting next week. And then we're going to go over to Calaveras, which is the Mexican right across the street here, which is good. Last month we all went and we went over to the Thai restaurant and it was such a good time of fellowship, right? So prepare yourself to come and have lunch with us after church next Sunday.
The Mexican.
Mexican right here, but we'll announce it next week.
Right across the street. Let me hand it. Praise God. Yes, I want to thank everyone for your faithful giving. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the faithful givers and tithers in this church. And I want you to know, as you're faithful to the Lord, I believe the blessings of God abound in your life. Amen? And then I want to let you know that with our new building, thank you for those who've given and supported our new building. We have signed the contract. We have